Spring is in full swing, and summer is just around the corner. A great time for a beach getaway at the Oceanfront Boardwalk Plaza Hotel in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. Enjoy the best of oceanfront accommodations and amazing dining right on the beach, both with great views of the ocean and boardwalk. Enjoy a soak in the heated indoor spa pool, or book the adults-only concierge level and relax in the rooftop hot tubs. Book online at BoardwalkPlaza.com or call 800-333-333 Beach. Thanks to the Boardwalk Plaza for being the Bridge Podcast Network sponsor.
Welcome to another episode of Together, part of the Bridge Podcast Network. Together, hosted by author, pastor, and communicator Jack Eason, will equip us in overcoming loneliness. We'll learn to identify what gets in the way of real community, how to develop and deepen true friendships, and discover a place of true belonging. Now, here is the host of Together, Jack Eason.
All right, folks, hey, thanks for joining us for another edition of the Jack Eason Podcast, talking about the issues of loneliness, togetherness, what we can do to build community, and a special guest joining me today. By the way, real quick, I hope you're sharing this podcast with those that you know, and if you're looking for a video version, then you can hit our website, jackeason.org. My guest is Skylar Fields. He is a pastor in the great big state of Kentucky, which is awesome. And man, tell us a little bit about your church and how long you've been there, and a little bit about you.
Okay, well, I'm the pastor at Bruner's Chapel Baptist Church. It's located in Harrodsburg, Kentucky, just south of Lexington. Just got married in July to the love of my life, Kara, and she is a medical student at the University of Kentucky. She's much much smarter than I am. I took the pastorate here at Bruner's Chapel on June the 21st of 2020. So working on this month will be 8 months, I believe, if my math is correct. It's normally not, but it is what it is. I did my Master of Divinity and my Master of Theology at Liberty University School of Divinity, and currently working on my PhD in Evangelism, Preaching, and Biblical Counseling at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth.
Awesome.
A little bit about me.
Yeah, man, that's great. That's great. What I was talking to some pastors the other day, and we said being a pastor in a COVID year is like being a pastor for 7 years. So congratulations, you've completed 7 years.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
It's been nuts. What have you seen in the life of your church? Because I know COVID has distanced us. Social distanced. I hate that word, but it has. And done a lot of things. But what are you seeing right there in your church? How have you guys been impacted?
Well, so one of the main things that that this virus has done is, you know, we're trying to meet safely and to not spread the virus, but also to have the ability to meet, because I think in-person meeting is vital to spiritual health, but also your emotional health, being able to see your friends and your family and those you care about and your church family. And one of the largest complaints during this time is we haven't been doing a lot of our normal get together kind of things. And so really Sunday morning church, aside from Bible study through the week, Sunday morning church is really the only time that a lot of people, such as our elderly, get to see anyone else. I've had some complaints, not necessarily complaints, just lovingly, you know, telling me what's going on in their life. And I appreciate that. Just, hey, you know what? I'm trapped in my house all week. My kids live in Indiana, or my kids live in Tennessee, and I don't really have the ability to see them all the time, and they're busy and working, and I don't want to try to be a burden to them calling them. So I just feel lonely and depressed at the house. And I had a lady explain to me the other day. She said, you know, when you're staying in the house and it is your choice, it's not so bad. But when you're staying in the house because you are forced to, she said, it really messes with your sanity.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I think a lot of people, even before COVID, okay, loneliness was an issue. And it'll be an issue after COVID. It's an epidemic, depending on what you want to believe with what you read, especially among, you know, the young people, college age, and post-college, right in there. What are you seeing? And even from your own experience, just, you know, finishing your first degrees there, in that age group, how is, let's even talk before COVID, how are you seeing that generation affected with this whole issue of lack of community or loneliness?
Well, I think you did a great job in your article discussing the loneliness factor. So I'm kind of in the age gap that's between two different generations. You know, I watched the computer age come into effect and cell phones and different things, but didn't have those starting out. And so what I have seen the change from an interpersonal communication, a conversation such as we are having, but in person, to now it's a text message or an email or something of that nature. And you miss the care factor, so to speak, in that. You miss the facial expression and seeing that someone cares about you. And I know FaceTime is good for people that don't have any other option, but you know, with college kids, a lot of the time, unless they are extroverts, you know, such as myself, and I just want to be out and with people all the time, you know, they have a hard time making friends. They have a hard time doing things with other people. And so without that, they're experiencing a higher suicide rate than ever recorded. It's even exponentially higher through this COVID pandemic. You know, we've got half, basically 50% of all Americans between the ages of 18 and 60 are treated for some type of depression, some type of medication for that. So, you know, there's a lot of things that are going on with college age kids. You know, I was a youth pastor before this, dealing with kids not being able to see their friends because they're not in school. You know, when I read an article a couple weeks ago that one of my Facebook friends put on there, a child from the Fayette County School District, which is Lexington, 9 years old, their mother had taken them to the hospital and they were on a 72-hour psych hold because they wanted to kill themselves because they didn't have any contact with their friend. You know, those are the things that we're dealing with, and not just the college age, but even the younger kids as well.
You love the people in your life, but sometimes you just don't understand each other. Wouldn't it be great if there was a tool to help you do that?
The Enneagram is a great tool to inspire better connections with others, ourselves, and God. It's about learning what motivates us, or how we and others see the world. Hi, I'm Ben.
And I'm Kim. Join us on the journey to better relationships utilizing the Enneagram.
Check out our podcast, If You Really Knew Me, and subscribe today.
What could we, or maybe what should we be doing as a faith community at the end of the day, kind of the whole purpose for this book, The Loneliness Solution, is really reminding us the gift of community, and I would say the gift of biblical community, faith community, the church. What should we be doing that maybe we aren't doing? Where have we dropped the ball even pre-COVID as the church? And now that COVID's here, what could we be doing to really strengthen a biblical community?
Well, I think the first issue that you have, and this is kind of a sore subject to a lot of folks in a way, and I think the first main issue that you have is we have lost, as the church, as the universal church, have lost the sense of urgency in evangelism. So we're not doing anything to grow the community. But then not only that, as the church in many regards, we are so caught up in the idea of tradition and doing it the way that we've always done it, that we are not fostering not fostering a, I'm searching for the word, a place to have a community. You know, we're not doing anything to change the way that we operate for the changing times. And I know that there's some disagreement about that, but when society has fallen away from the church, you don't have to change the principles of the church and what you're teaching, but you need to change the way that you're reaching out and how to become a community and get involved, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and I think what we've also missed, and maybe you could jump in here too and maybe share about this, is especially for those maybe who aren't quite as mature in their faith, and even for those who don't even know Christ yet, we have forgotten to share, I think, the benefits of community. It's an idea from God from the very foundation of the world, biblical community. I mean, he said it's not good for man to be alone, so I'm going to make woman. So the man has community, companionship, relationship. So obviously this is not a new idea to God, but I think we don't talk about the benefits of community. You know, the ability to meet one another's needs and pray together and have accountability and encouragement, all those things. Do you think maybe we have stressed other things that aren't quite as important? Where are we missing it to help a community for those of us that have it and have a good church like you're at? Where have we missed making that attractive, if that's the right word, to a world around us that desperately needs community? Because they all have that internal void. We're wired and made by God for community. Where are we missing it?
I think one of the main problems is, for lack of a better term, devotion. And when I say devotion, if you look throughout history, if you start in the late 18th century and move through the 19th century into the 20th century, you'll see that there was this great evangelical movement. You'll see gentlemen like Jonathan Edwards. You'll see Charles Whitfield. You'll see the Wesleys. You'll see D.L. Moody and Charles Spurgeon. And then as you move into the 20th century, 21st century, you're getting wonderful guys like Billy Graham, John Stott, some of those gentlemen that were solely committed to devotion and were teaching a devotion unto Christ. With today's society, what we've allowed the universalism of the society around us to permeate into the church, and it has overcome the teachings of the church to say, you know, hey, the things that are important to me, the church can be on the back burner, so to speak. And so with regard to your question about community, I think in many cases you'll hear the general statement, I don't have to be a church-going Christian to be a Christian. And I would agree with that in principle, that yes, you know, salvation is through Jesus Christ alone, faith and trust in Christ alone. But, you know, we also see from the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, speaking to the need for Christian community, those who will hold you accountable, who will bring you up, who will love on you and care for you, those who will care for the widows, those who will care for the sick. You know, we have this, I think we have a misconstrued idea of what community is today, and need to get back to the biblical principle of community.
Yeah, that's great, man. That's so good. Hey, I'm talking with Skylar Fields, pastor in the great state of Kentucky. And again, I encourage you to Google, find out how to connect with him online if you want to talk more about some of these things that we're talking about today, because the idea of community, there are great benefits to community beyond, as he's kind of alluding to, beyond the consumeristic mindset that most of us have when we think about community, which is what can the church do for me instead of what gifts has God given me to bring to the church. So I want to encourage you to kind of check out, how can folks get in touch with you if they want to find out more about you, your church, and what you guys are doing?
You can email me at pastor.schylar, that's S-C-H-Y-L-A-R, at gmail.com. You can find me on Facebook. We're in the process of updating our church website, but that's brunerschapel.com, B-R-U-N-E-R-S, chapel.com. Or, you know, I don't care. You guys could shoot me a text, 606-625-2911. Give me a call. You know, I'd love to be able to talk with you, pray for you, whatever I can do to help in your relationship with Christ.
Awesome. Man, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of Together on the Bridge Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss a beat. Share your thoughts and questions about this episode by emailing podcast@wearethebridge.org. You can find other great podcasts by heading over to the Listen tab at wearethebridge.org/podcast.